Ramsey TV.
Yeah, I'm definitely loving Romans 12:16, but I gotta warm up to it. I gotta start with verse 14, if you don't mind. Yeah, that's my silverware back there. I haven't put that away yet. So that's what's happening here in Zenderville. I'm Martin Zender. This is MZTV. Yes, and I'm just gonna jump right into the scriptures here. Is the music still playing? Now, okay, great. Romans. What did I say? 12:16. Start with 14. Bless those who are persecuting you. I don't recommend that at all. No, seriously, I do. Bless and do not curse, so as to be rejoicing with those rejoicing, lamenting with those lamenting, being mutually disposed to one another. This is concerning us in the body of Christ. We're to be mutually disposed, helping each other out. And this is what I'm really into. And I love this. I've always been into this, but even more so now. Not being disposed to that which is high, but being led away to the humble. Do not come to pass for prudent with yourselves. There is nothing sicker, really, than thinking you're all that, and that you're a special human being, and that wisdom dies with you. It must suck to be everybody else. No, this is actually a disposition that will lead to unhappiness. And you'll find that many of the secret blessings and treasures in life are hidden in the lowly things, or what the world would consider the lowly things. But an equation in my mind, a translation, if you will, in my mind. And that is, when I see something that's high, I know that God is going to make it low. And when I see something low, I know God is going to make it high. And because I know how God works, I know that there are wonderful things with the low things of life, or what humans deem to be low. I mean, just think of the Pharisees in Jesus's day. Oh, we thank God that we're not like those stupid sinners. Yes, they would be parading around in the streets in their frills, and they would be beating their chests, maybe not literally, but certainly internally, and they would be so thankful that they're the wonderful Pharisees and the poor scum of the street, you know, the average ordinary person. But I'm telling you, the power, God's power is manifested in the ordinary, everyday person. And I'll just give you an example. I mean, I love talking to the homeless people here. I like the homeless people. I feel a kinship with them because, again, I feel homeless. I might have told you this. I mean, I have a nice place to live, thank God. But, you know, I lived for 3.5 years in a laundry room, and that suited me. I would still be there if I weren't, you know, asked very nicely to leave the laundry room. Somebody asked me at the beginning when I started to live over there, which is just like 30 yards away. They said, Martin, when are you going to get out of the laundry room? I said, you don't know how hard I work to get into the laundry room. I love the laundry room. So I love talking to these homeless guys. And in fact, there's part of me that, well, I don't know if I should say that, but I will say this. I love asking them questions. There's just one guy at the corner of Federal and 17th Street that I really have taken to. And he said he's been around for 10 years. He's been homeless for 10 years. He's like the king. I call him the king of kings. And he's got it figured out. I mean, he's not trying to get out of the homeless situation. He is, and I find this with most homeless people. I don't think that the majority of them want to leave their estate. And I've told him, I said, dude, you've beat the system. Have you ever thought of it that way? And he goes, yeah. I mean, he's got his routine. He's got his life. I ask him, I'm fascinated by that world. Because sometimes I think I'm actually mentally preparing myself for it somehow, some way. Again, I feel like an expatriate on the earth. I don't belong here. And it somehow fascinates me to look at little places in town. Like, I could probably live there. I wonder why nobody sleeps on top of the bus stops. That's what I would do. Everybody sleeps like at the bus stops, hangs around at the bus stops, but nobody looks above to see what's on the bus stop. I would look around, climb up there, situate myself, have a sleeping bag and a tarp or something, and I think it would be nice to live on top of a bus stop. When I first got here, there was a place near the Publix grocery store. It was back behind some hedges, and there was like a 2-foot gap running the length of the hedges, which was a considerable length, and I thought I could probably live in there, and I could write at the coffee shops. I could have enough money, hopefully, you know. I would ask my friend how to do it. I would have enough money to buy some coffee and to keep my computer charged up. I'm assuming I'll have a computer, of course. I'm not that lovely, you see, but I'd have to get my work out. Anyway, I'm fascinated. I ask this guy questions. I am just really interested in his life. And I see a scriptural precedent for this. I mean, here's Paul saying that be drawn away, be led away to the humble, because you can learn from the humble. The disciples, they detested the widow. Do you remember the widow's mite? Well, no, they pointed out all the people in the temple who were giving lots of money. Look at those people. They're putting tons into the coffers. Those guys, those people are great. And of course, they were always off. They were thick and ordinary men, and they were always not quite there spiritually. Jesus points out a widow giving a mite, which was like a penny, and he said, she has put more into that box than anybody else. The disciples said, how do you figure? Because she's giving out of her need. These people are giving out of their excess. They're giving out of their leftovers. It's not hurting them at all to put even great amounts into the box. And plus, they just want to be seen by men. But this woman, a humble woman, I pictured her just hunched over, like dressed shabbily. She puts this penny in there, and everybody else overlooks it except our Lord. He points it out. That woman is exalted, extolled by none other than the Son of God, and she will be exalted and extolled in the kingdom. Yeah, the big shots will be tossed out. Those big guys throwing the money in there that they don't even need, they're going to be at the last seat at the wedding feast, and this woman's going to be at the first seat, which, good, she deserves it. Hebrews 13:2. I've always loved this passage. It's about entertaining strangers. Be mindful of, here it is. Be not forgetting hospitality, for through this some were oblivious when lodging messengers. Messengers being angelic, in this context, being angelic beings. So angelic beings are good at disguising themselves. And how do I know that the King of Kings at the intersection over here, how do I know it's not an angelic being? How do I know? Because apparently they disguise themselves. They can do it. Oh, they can do it. And so you show hospitality. Why would somebody not show hospitality to a stranger? Because they show up at your door and they look shabby and they look scary and you're afraid of them. So you just slam the door in their face. When Jesus sent the disciples out to herald the kingdom, and he said, if the doors are open up to you, go in and bless the house and everything's going to be great. But if they slam the door in your face, then, you know, shake the dust off your feet, go to the next town. It will be more tolerable in the judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than for those people who slammed the door in your face. Ooh, but why would anybody slam the door on the face of Peter? Because he looked like hell. And he was a fisherman, and he probably smelled bad. He was lowly. This is where the magic resides. And again, I've told you this, some people won't watch my show, or they try to show it to their spouses, the famous line, he's in his car. One guy wouldn't watch it because this guy's in his car. Back in the days, I was doing Return to Zender. A lot of the shows from my car. Still do it once in a while. He's in his car. How can I watch a guy who's in his car? Because, sir, you're supposed to be, if you're any kind of believer, and you claim to be, supposed to be led away to the humble, to the lowly, to those things which are not exalted by men. And Paul, in this context, says not to become prudent, not to pass for prudent with yourself. That is, set yourself up as a judge, and as a poor judge, really, assuming that riches and assuming that reputation mean anything in this world. Well, actually, they do. Riches, generally speaking, and reputation, generally speaking, are a sign of very soon having the rug pulled out from under you, because it is the great who shall be lowered and the low who shall be greatened. That's the principle. That's how it works. Think of John the Baptist. For this, I will go to Matthew 3, verse 4. We see a guy who is not dressed as one would expect a man of God to be dressed, especially if you attend any kind of, quote, church service, unquote, in Oklahoma, Tulsa, for instance. I remember I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, visiting a friend. That's where the name it, claim it stuff goes on. And there was this preacher just shouting at everybody, saying, if you had enough faith, you could be the best-dressed person in Tulsa. That's how he measured things. That's how he measured your faith, by how well-dressed you were, probably by your address, by the car you drive. Well, what would he have said if John the Baptist had wandered into the congregation? It would have been shameful. People would have averted the eye. People would have questioned the man's faith. Here's a description of John in Matthew 3, verse 4. Now he, John, had his apparel of camel's hair. I don't think that was the finest material you could make a garment out of. Probably the opposite of silk. Definitely the opposite of cashmere. John had his apparel of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. Maybe he had only a leather girdle around his loins. Remember Kate Winslet in the Titanic? She's getting friendly with Leonardo DiCaprio and she wants him to do a drawing of her. DiCaprio in the movie being an artist. They're both on the Titanic. She's from first class. He's from down in steerage. They sneak around together and she says, I want you to do a portrait of me wearing this necklace. He said, oh, okay. And then she says, wearing only this necklace. Hoo-hoo! Winslet, not a bad-looking specimen there. DiCaprio gets extremely nervous at that point. So John's wearing a leather girdle. Who knows, that might be all he was wearing. Looked like a primitive man, a primate, a radical. Probably hadn't been to the barber very often. His nourishment was locusts and wild honey. Probably a great meal, actually. I'm interested in the wild honey. I would only eat the locusts if they were roasted. Don't think John didn't roast them. I bet he did. So now I want to go to Psalm 138, verse 6. Here is Psalm 138, verse 6. Though Yahweh is exalted, yet he discerns the lowly. See, it's about discernment. He discerns the lowly and he knows the haughty one from afar. Oh, yes. You know the haughty one from afar because you can see the Krieg lights. Yes, you can see the sequins. You can smell the perfume. You can see the exalted shoulders. Why did Israel pick Saul to be their first king? Exalted shoulders, taller than any other man and good looking. Ah, but God knows the haughty from afar, yet he discerns the lowly. And it keeps you real. It really does. It keeps you real to take note of those who would be of no reputation in this world. It might be an angel. You never know. They do hang around down here. And then I'll finish with this, but when you think of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, he was not from a good zip code. No, he was from the worst district in Galilee, Nazareth, worst town. And we know that he kept ill company. He hung around with prostitutes, drinkers, tax collectors, in the person of Matthew, to the point that the priests called him a drunkard because He drank, and he hung around with people who drank, because he was, what Paul says, he was led away to the humble. He went to the humble. When he's going out to pick out disciples, he doesn't go to the temple. He doesn't go to the Actors Guild. He doesn't go to the government buildings. He doesn't go to the mayor, doesn't go to the prefect. He goes to the Sea of Galilee and he picks out fishermen. Just great, just great. It's God's modus operandi. He's always doing it. This is why I'm content to have an average of 1,000 views per video. I mean, that's a lot to me. I think it's a lot. But of course, you see people with millions of views and they broadcast from their cathedrals, and I like it. I like it. As I often say, or I think anyway, if I don't say it, is that I would be suspect. I would be worried what I'm doing wrong if suddenly tens of thousands of people are finding my site and people are offering money to build me a church or something. It's like, I don't want any part of that. Simple life is the best life. The lowly life is the best life. The scriptural precedence is God humbles the exalted, and he exalts the humbled. And the lives of these, what some would call little people, they're so fascinating. I love talking to this guy, this homeless guy. I don't even know what his name is. He calls me boss. I call him chief. Another guy showed up the other day. I forgot to tell you about it. He's got one tooth in the front, one tooth. And it's not even coming straight down as teeth should be. It's kind of going sideways. It's kind of coming out at a 45 degree angle, the tooth is. And he's got a buzz haircut. He really should let his hair grow a little bit, but maybe I'll tell him that next time. But every time I stop at this light, and it's a long light, I talk to these guys. I enjoy it. I would much rather be talking to these homeless people at the bus stop or at the intersection here at 17th and Federal Highway than I would at a dinner party, don't you know, drinking tea with a high and mighty, extending the pinky, of course, and tasting the crumpets, whatever the hell they are. I see caviar at the store once in a while. I go, what the hell is this? Who wants to eat fish eggs? Not me. Give me locusts and honey every time.